Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee will come to order. For the record, the date is March 1st, 2011. Today, we have only one order of business before us, Senate File 201. Senator Kreif's bill on careless driving resulting in death and gross misdemeanor penalty. Welcome to the committee, Senator DeKreif.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. What I'm here to propose is changing a careless driving law. Currently, this bill establishes a gross misdemeanor penalty for anyone who causes the death of another while driving carelessly. The maximum sentence for a gross misdemeanor is imprisonment for 1 year and or a $3,000 fine. This does not limit the state's power to punish a person for conduct, criminal conduct, under any other state law. This bill would be effective August 1st, 2012. Essentially, what this bill does, if we have a loved one that dies as a result of an auto accident, currently the law will allow the courts to consider either a careless driving citation or a felony. A felony can be very difficult to reach because you have to prove intent. And in a careless driving situation, I'm not sure intent is appropriate. What this does is it adds a gross misdemeanor option that the courts can then consider, which seems a lot more viable option. What I would like to do is I would like to introduce Mr. James Backstrom, Dakota County Attorney.
Mr. Backstrom, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I'm James Backstrom, the Dakota County Attorney. I have been privileged to serve in that capacity since 1987. I'm a member of the Board of Directors of the Minnesota County Attorneys Association and the National District Attorneys Association. I am here in strong support of the need to change Minnesota law to increase the penalty for negligent or careless driving resulting in death to a gross misdemeanor. Under our current careless driving statute, which in essence means negligent driving under case law, there is no additional penalty if the careless driving results in the death of another person. Under the present statute that we have in Minnesota, it makes no difference if a person's negligent conduct causes them to leave the road and hit a stop sign or a mailbox or to strike and kill a human being. The penalty is exactly the same under Minnesota law, up to 1 year of probation, up to 90 days in the county jail, and a fine of $1,000, which is the penalties for a misdemeanor. This proposal recognizes that negligent driving that results in death should be treated more seriously than a misdemeanor. This bill would make it punishable as a gross misdemeanor, would allow up to 2 years of probation, up to a year in the county jail, and a fine of up to $3,000. Since we originally proposed this legislation in 2007, my office has unfortunately prosecuted a number of tragedies where this exact issue came into play. In July of 2006, Laura Brockhaus, who was 18 years old, struck and killed 18-year-old Jacqueline Devney when she fell asleep behind the wheel of her car in the city of Farmington. In September 2005 in Dakota County, Kathleen Racine drove her car negligently and killed Rodney Rippentrop, who was riding a motorcycle, also seriously injuring his passenger, his wife, Catherine. In December of 2009, a 17-year-old young man drove his car negligently in the city of Lakeville and killed three members of the Iverson-Ferkel family, and you'll hear some testimony in a moment from one of the aggrieved victims, surviving victims in that particular tragedy. As you may know, under Minnesota law, to bring a felony charge for driving conduct that results in injury or death of a person, we have to have alcohol or drugs involved, or we have to prove gross negligence under Minnesota law today. Proving gross negligence is not an easy task for prosecutors such as myself. It means with very great negligence, it means without driving without even scant care. Simply falling asleep behind the wheel, for one example, is not enough to constitute gross negligence. We have to be able to prove the conduct that went into this before the person got in the car, what led them to be sleepy that particular night, what caused them to be negligent on the occasion that they drove off of a road and struck or killed somebody. It's an extremely difficult standard for prosecutors to meet, and it most often cannot be met in these types of tragedies. We don't have the type of information and the evidence we need to prove gross negligence in these cases. There are several statutes under Minnesota law, which I would call to the committee's attention, which base the level of the crime on the severity of the injury to the victim. For example, in the assault statutes, a fifth-degree assault is a misdemeanor. It requires the infliction of bodily harm. A third-degree assault is a felony. That involves substantial bodily harm. And the most serious assault, first degree, requires proof of great bodily harm, and it is a more serious felony-level offense, more serious penalties for that. Similarly, criminal vehicular homicide and operation have varying penalties based upon the degree of harm to the victim. There are also several statutes in Minnesota which involve reckless or negligent conduct where the law currently increases the penalty depending upon the potential harm to the victims. For example, recklessly handling a firearm or a gun or other dangerous weapon so as to endanger others is a misdemeanor. But that penalty is increased to a gross misdemeanor if it occurs in a school, a public housing, or park zone where there's more potential risk to the public. Also, negligently storing a firearm is a gross misdemeanor under Minnesota law if it's done in an area where a child is likely to have access to the weapon, even if no harm actually occurs. It is my belief, Mr. Chair and committee members, that if negligently storing a firearm in a place accessible to a child is a gross misdemeanor because of its potential to cause harm or to cause death of a child, clearly negligent driving conduct that actually results in the death of another person should carry the same penalty. All too often, we are faced with the difficult task of informing family members who have lost loved ones in tragedies involving negligent driving, careless driving, that they are the person responsible for taking the lives of their family members will face no more serious charge under Minnesota law than a misdemeanor. That is a difficult conversation to have, and I've had it many times. We need to establish some middle ground in these types of tragic cases to hold the offenders accountable. Doing so, making this a gross misdemeanor penalty will increase the length of probation in which the court can monitor the offender. It will give the judges more sentencing options to more appropriately hold these offenders accountable for their conduct. I would point out one last thing before I turn it over to see if you have any questions of me, and that is, you may have some interest in knowing what do some of our bordering states do in reference to these types of crimes. Well, both North Dakota and Wisconsin, two of our bordering states, have created felony-level penalties under their laws for negligent driving that causes death. I would strongly encourage you to consider these changes. They're important. They're needed to protect our community, to hold offenders accountable, and to protect the victims of these tragic crimes. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and thank Senator DeCree for carrying this bill as its chief author.
Thank you, Mr. Backstrom. Any other testifiers regarding your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair and committee. I'd like to point out we have a number of organizations that are in support of this bill, along with Dakota County Attorney Jim Backstrom. The city of Minneapolis is in favor of this. The motorcycle group ABATE, Motorcycles for Safe Drive, or Minnesotans for Safe Driving, Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota, Hiawatha Bicycling Club, and many others. But right now, to my right, is ABATE representative, Mac Backstrom.
Backlund.
I'm sorry, Backlund.
Yeah.
Too many bees today. Mr. Backlund, welcome to the committee. Could you identify yourself for the record and the organization you represent?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Mac Backlund. I'm the state coordinator for ABATE of Minnesota. ABATE is an acronym that stands for American Bikers for Awareness, Training, and Education, and is the largest motorcycling advocacy group in the state of Minnesota, with thousands of members throughout the state. Mr. Chairman, every year, motorcyclists, pedestrians, bicyclists, vehicle drivers, and their passengers are killed by other motorists who enter the roadway into their path, turn left into their path, or otherwise cause crashes by failing to yield the right of way. While hoping to save a few seconds of their time, these actions lead to heartache and shattered lives, as I'm sure you will hear more of today. Currently, these are misdemeanor citations if the vehicle operator is found to be sober and drug-free, and those who are cited have committed only a simple misdemeanor. ABATE of Minnesota feels that Minnesota should strengthen the penalties for those who kill others while driving in a negligent manner and raise the offense to the level of gross misdemeanor, and I'm here to offer the full support of our organization. And I ask all the members to please support Senate File 201. And Mr. Chairman and members, I thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. Backlund. Any questions for our witness at this or testifier at this time? Any other witnesses, Senator Dietrich? Oh, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this would be directed to County Attorney Backstrom, who is a familiar face around here and worked with him on several issues over the years. Does this language, does the bill in this language give the judge the authority to be discretionary? There's no minimum sentencing here, by your understanding. And so there is no minimum maximum sanctioning with this particular bill. Is that correct? In other words, he has discretion. Should this person be a first-time violation versus somebody who's got an extensive driving record?
Mr. Baxter.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, you're correct. This would be treated as all gross misdemeanors are under Minnesota law. The sentence handed down would be up to the discretion of the judge. It could carry up to a year in the county jail and up to 2 years probation, as I mentioned previously. And certainly in all cases, the judge and obviously the prosecutor is making recommendations to the judge are going to look at the person's criminal history, their background. And if there are prior offenses, we're certainly going to argue for a more stern sentence in those cases. But right now, we can't ask for anything more than 90 days in these cases and no more than a year in of probation because these are just classified as misdemeanors.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Follow up. In my many years of having to deliver death messages resulting from accidents and whatever they might be, and a lot of them were this type of a situation. So often I think the victims, part of the process ends right there. And I'm trying to get my arms around the idea of somebody who's negligent, and that negligence results in the death of somebody who is innocent, and to be only charged with a misdemeanor. I really have a hard time with that, so I really applaud the senator to bringing this forward. I think this is probably not severe enough. But I also understand that driving down the road and dropping something on the floor and bending over to pick that up or to assist somebody in the back seat that might need a little parent adjustment at one time or another that we all have, I guess, or turn the radio down is really not, there's not, that action obviously, if it resulted in something tragic like this, was certainly not intentional. So I understand that part as well. But again, the victim with a misdemeanor violation really kind of goes on recognized in my view. So that's where I'm at with this. I'm certainly in favor of raising the sanctions for this and I might reserve some of my comments for some later testimony here too as well. But
Senator Thompson.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and Mr. Backstrom. I signed on to this bill, and it was presented to me as essentially applying to careless driving the standard that had previously only been applied to a higher standard, which is reckless driving. And I'm not, I don't do criminal kinds of work. Is this verbiage the typical kind of verbiage that you'd see here? Because it seems odd to me that this is just a description of what I laid out to you. Can you explain that to us, please?
Mr. Chair and Senator Thompson.
Mr. Backstrom.
I am confident that the language contained in this bill will be satisfactory in terms of our ability to prove these offenses. It does not include the word reckless. I think we have a separate statute under Minnesota law that is reckless driving. That is more close to gross negligence in terms of our ability to prove that, and that's why I would be concerned if the language in here contained a reckless standard, because that in essence is gross negligence, and it carries the same burden of proof to a prosecutor. Right now we're talking about careless driving or heedlessly acting in disregard of the rights of others. That's negligence under case law as it's interpreted this language before. It's negligent conduct, and if it results in death, this bill would make it a gross misdemeanor.
Mr. Chair, for follow-up, if I may.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Backstrom. So then this really is a simple, to put it in the parlance of a civil case, this is a simple negligence standard.
Mr. Chair and Senator Thompson,
Mr.
yes.
Mr. Backstrom.
Thank you.
Before we get into any other questions, are there any other testifiers for the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
I think what I'd like to do is get all the testimony first, then we for and against, and then we can get into the deeper weeds on questioning.
Okay. If someone had any questions for Mr. Backlund with ABATE, he had to leave, so he wouldn't be here later. So if there were any questions, we might entertain those
any
for the motorcycle
for Mr.
community.
Backlund? Mr. Backlund, thank you. Or Senator Newman does have a question.
Okay.
If I might, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Backlund, in the current statute, there is language that says any person who operates or halts any vehicle. And in the new proposed bill, it says any person who drives, operates, or halts. Is there any reason why the word drives is being inserted into the new bill?
Mr. Backlund? Who are we asking?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Backlund, are you asking?
Yeah, I'm asking Mr. Backlund.
Mr. Backlund.
Well, maybe. Oh, I think you're confused with the names as
I am
easy
indeed.
To do.
I'm sorry, Mr. Backstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Newman.
Mr. Backstrom.
I don't have the other language that you're referring to right in front of me, and perhaps Mr. Backus could comment on this as well, but we just simply want to be clear that, driving is part of the conduct, and, obviously if you're operating a vehicle or driving the vehicle or halting that vehicle in a manner which is basically negligent conduct, simple negligence, that causes someone's death, then the gross misdemeanor penalty would be applicable. So I don't see any harm with adding the word drive to this. In fact, I think it would be helpful.
Mr. Backus, another B name that's going to confuse us today. Mr. Backus.
Mr. Chair and members, I don't have the exact answer to the question, and I did not draft the bill, but I can maybe speculate here. I'm looking at the underlying statute, which includes a subdivision on reckless driving and a subdivision on careless driving. The reckless driving statute says any person who drives any vehicle, et cetera. The careless driving says any person who operates or halts any vehicle. I suspect the person who drafted this tried to combine those two just to be a little more comprehensive. I don't know that it's absolutely necessary, but that's what I would speculate the reason being.
Okay. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Backstrom, can you tell me if at least it would seem to me that at least in part what you're trying to accomplish here is to enact a statute that would be a deterrent to the kinds of tragedies that you've been describing. Do you have available to you any kind of studies or relate to us anything that would indicate that
if this statute was, in fact, adopted, the number of deaths that you have talked about are going to go down?
Mr. Backstrom.
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, I do not have those statistics available to me. I'm not sure if they exist, and perhaps the folks from Minnesotans for Safe Driving, who will testify a little later, may have a comment on that when they testify, because they deal with this all the time. But I will say this in terms of just my thoughts as they relate to your question, and that is simply, yes, it's always important to deter crime. We are always working hard to get the message out to deter crime, but it's also important that we hold offenders appropriately accountable when they do break our laws. And when you take a human life through your negligence, the penalty for that should be more than being negligent and striking a mailbox. And that's the simple fact of the reality that we have today. There is no difference under our law, and this would increase the penalty appropriately, in my opinion.
Senator Newman.
Thank you. Mr. Backstrom, would you agree with me that a working definition of negligence would be simply to use reasonable care?
Mr. Chair and Senator Newman, negligence is the lack of reasonable care. Yes, that I would agree with that.
And
Mr. Chairman,
would the effect of the statute that you are proposing
raise the absence of using reasonable care to the level of a gross misdemeanor?
Mr. Backstrom.
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, yes, that's what this bill does. It raises negligent conduct that results in death to a gross misdemeanor, and I believe that's appropriate for all the reasons I previously testified.
And, Mr. Chair, just one final comment. I appreciate your position on this, Mr. Backstrom. I really do. And we obviously are talking about some very tragic circumstances. But I have in mind what Senator Ingebretson raised. Negligence, the lack of use of reasonable care, where you drop something on the floor of your automobile and reach down and pick it up and wind up having an accident, or talking on a cell phone, or tuning your radio. All of those, to me, are negligence. And what this bill is proposing to do is to criminalize that of activity. And I will tell you that I have serious questions about the wisdom of going down that road when we have available to us the kind of language, Mr. Backstrom, that obviously you're not comfortable with, and that would be the gross negligence under the reckless driving, or even the language under the criminal vehicular homicide. So I will tell you that I respect what you're trying to do, and I sympathize with the families, but I am very I'm looking at this from a very cautious standpoint of escalating ordinary negligence to the level of a gross misdemeanor.
Mr. Backstrom.
Mr. Chair, thank you.
And then after that, I want to get back to our testifiers.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Pardon me. Mr. Backlund, do you need to leave, as Senator DeCrive thought?
In a short while, yes.
Okay. All right. Mr. Backstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Newman, I appreciate you expressing your concerns and understanding why it is we're moving forward with this bill. I will just point out that Minnesota law already criminalizes negligent conduct. It just criminalizes at a misdemeanor level, and we're asking that it be criminalized at a gross misdemeanor level when a person's life is taken through that negligence. Thank you.
Okay. Senator DeCrive, your other testifiers.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. What I'd like to do is introduce Carol Iverson. She's a citizen who has lost some loved ones in a careless driving situation.
Ms. Iverson, welcome to the committee.
Thank
Would you identify
Mr.
yourself for the record and any organization or family that you may represent?
My name is Carol Iverson, and I'm from Marshall, Minnesota. I am the daughter-in-law of Shirley Iverson, the sister-in-law of Deborah Buman, and aunt to Alexis Lexi Iverson. I have the honor of speaking on behalf of the Iverson-Buman families today. In attendance with me today are Shirley's children, Ronnie, Janice, Marveen, Lexi's sister, Heather, and my husband, Byron, was not able to attend due to a commitment, and then Deb's husband, Bill, was not able to attend due to a commitment. It is hard to find the words to tell you just how December 12th, 2009 has changed our lives forever. The grief we still feel today is beyond anything we can possibly put into words. On December 12th, 2009, as Shirley, Deb, and Lexi were traveling home from Target, they were hit head-on by a teenage driver who crossed the center lane into oncoming traffic. All three were killed on impact. Shirley was 71 years old, Deborah was 34 years old, and Lexi was just 8 years old. Three generations from one family lost in a few seconds. Mom, Grandma Shirley was the glue that held our family together. She was the best mom and grandma we could have ever asked for. Shirley had 6 children, 15 grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren. Since her death, 2 great-grandchildren have been born, and there is another on the way. She would have been so excited to have these additions into the family and to see her children, Ronnie and Janice, as first-time grandparents. Deb was such a special woman. The family was so proud of her and her accomplishments in life. First and foremost, she was an unbelievable wife, mom, sister, and aunt, and daughter. We are very sad that we won't get to watch Deb with her children. Bella and Abby were her pride and joy. It is not fair that due to someone else's negligence that Bella and Abby won't have their mommy anymore. Bella was 3 years old when this happened, and Abby was 11 months. Our sweet Lexi. Lexi's mom, Marveen, remembers that night Lexi, Shirley, and Deb were taken like it was just yesterday. She remembers her mom and daughter going to church to get their picture taken for the church directory, which I included in the packet. This picture was taken 3 hours before the accident. She did not know that every part of her daily life was about to change, that her mother and daughter that were the center of her life were no longer there. Our family has suffered emotionally, financially, and physically. Our family has been put in an awful position. We had to pay for 3 funerals, 3 grave sites, 3 headstones, as well as many other out-of-pocket expenses that we would not have had this awful crash not happened. We do not wish for any other family to go through the pain and stress we have been through and will continue to have to go through for the rest of our lives. We will work hard as a family and join Mr. Backstrom, the Dakota County Attorney's Office, and Senator Al DeCrieff in their fight to get the laws in Minnesota changed to increase the consequences of careless driving resulting in death. A person must be held accountable for taking the lives of others due to negligence while driving a car, no matter what your age is. If you are old enough to operate a vehicle, you are definitely old enough to suffer the consequences of your negligent actions. As a family, we were shocked to learn that the defendant in our case would be charged with only 1 count of careless driving, a misdemeanor, and he took the lives of 3 people. Yes, we understand that a person who commits this act must live with it for the rest of their lives, but so do we. We lost 3 family members, 3 generations, and 1 awful negligent crash. In our case, the defendant has been able to go on with his life by attending prom, graduating from high school, and going to college, something Lexi won't be able to do. He moved on with his life and all that it has to offer, something Shirley, Deb, and Lexi will not be able to do. We respectfully request that the careless driving law changes so that other families that are in situations similar to ours don't have to go through the heartache of not only losing their loved ones, but then having the law not reflect the seriousness of the defendant's actions. Right now, the current careless driving law consequences are no different if you hit a sign or you kill a person. you receive the exact same punishment. In closing, on behalf of the Iverson-Buman families, I would like to thank you all for allowing me time to speak today.
Thank you, Ms. Iverson. Any questions for the testifier? Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator DeKreif, any other testifiers?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I actually want to thank Carol Iverson for stepping forward with that very difficult story of her loss. But I'd like to now introduce Nancy Johnson, Minnesota's for Safe Driving.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Johnson.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Nancy Johnson, and I'm president of Minnesotans for Safe Driving, a nonprofit victim advocacy and traffic safety organization. I'm also the mother whose daughter was killed in a traffic crash caused by an impaired driver. I know the devastation of a sudden loss that these families experience. In our case, the young man who caused the crash was also killed, so we didn't have to go through the court process. Minnesota's criminal law is enhanced based on the degree of harm to people or the value of property taken. There needs to be a similar enhancement of the penalty for non-alcohol-related crashes, just like there is for alcohol-related crashes. Just because a driver happens to be sober does not mean the crash was an accident. Our organization assists many grieving families through the court system. When they are told that the charge is only a careless driving misdemeanor and the death of their loved one does not enhance that charge, they are shocked. One family said, "How can you compare my son's life to a careless driving ticket?" Another said, "My nephew received a careless driving charge for going over the white line on a curve, and the person who killed my brother is also charged with just that same misdemeanor. How can that be?" We have also heard from prosecutors that have said, "The way the law reads right now, our hands are tied. You and I know that when a person is killed, it calls for more than a misdemeanor, but the law has limited us." Another prosecutor said, "This is one of the hardest things I have to do, to tell a family that the negligent driver who caused the death of their loved one will only be charged with a misdemeanor." Not all traffic crashes resulting in death should be charged. This legislation will not change that. We all need to remember how important it is to focus 100% on the job of driving. Every time we start our engine, we're making life and death decisions. If we decide to break the law, even if it is in what would be considered minor, just to get to our destination faster, feel that our car is our communication center, or we're just not paying attention to the job of driving, we are risking our own life and we are risking the lives of others. If a crash happens and an innocent person is killed, the penalty should show the seriousness of these actions, both for society and the grieving families. We hope that you will pass Senate File 201. To comment to Senator Newman's question,
Senator Newman? Testifier wants to address your concern.
You were mentioning if there was.
I apologize.
I'm sorry. That's right. There is no way of knowing what kind of law, any of the laws that are passed, if they're stopping, how many people it's stopping from happening. But if society needs to know that we take crashes seriously, and when we continue to say they're accidents, people look at it as it's really not something that nobody can. I've got done anything about. Every time we take our eyes from the road, even though we all do it, but every time we do that, we are taking a risk. And we have to start looking at our driving as a very dangerous thing that we do, and we have to put forth a lot more of our thoughts about what we're doing it. And if we're not going to be willing to do that, if we're just going to, you know, try to get to our destination faster, try to communicate with anybody, and something happens, then unfortunately we do have to pay for it. And maybe if we have enhancing the penalty, maybe the society will look at it as more serious and maybe some of them will stop. And that's what we're hoping, is that people will start to see distracted driving as dangerous And that it's not just drunk driving that is causing the problems. 60% of the crashes are non-alcohol related. So a lot of people are dying, and they're not dying from drinking too much and then killing someone. So we really need to change society's viewpoint of driving and what happens if we do things stupidly. They do cause a death. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? Senator DeKreif, do you have any other testifiers on behalf of your bill?
Mr. Chair, no, at this point, that's all of the testifiers that we had.
Okay. Is there anyone else in the room that wishes to speak for or against this bill? Hearing none, we'll open it for questions. Senator Marty?
Mr. Chairman, maybe Mr. Backstrom or somebody else on this. We have the reckless driving statute is also misdemeanor, and it doesn't have any enhancement. And when I was reading the case, this tragic story, I was thinking first not having lights on and reading that the guy did not have any alcohol or drugs or anything, and I keep thinking I've pulled out of a well-lit parking lot or something in, at night and forgot to turn on the headlights, and I sometimes have gone a block or something. I'm thinking I could see that. I see the driver also crossed into the other lane. I mean, to me, at a certain point, I don't know where the line between careless and reckless happens, but why aren't we, I mean, I see in this case that the agreement was, I mean, 6 weekends in the juvenile detention center, things that you wouldn't have if he had simply damaged property and so on. But I'm wondering why the decision to enhance careless driving instead of reckless driving, because I know it's a harder thing to prove, but I also think in a case like this, you know, I think some of the stories that Senator Ingebrigtsen and others were talking about where, oops, a kid does something, you get distracted, you drop something on the floor, and I think a lot of us would say we know it's wrong, but we've probably done it. And I'm wondering why the decision to enhance the careless instead of reckless, and obviously it's easier to prove the one, but I'm wondering about the merits of enhancing the more serious crime, because first of all, if we did this enhancement, we didn't enhance the other, and somebody's going to come back next year and say, look, if you kill somebody while you're driving reckless, it's misdemeanor. You kill somebody while you're driving carelessly, it's a gross misdemeanor. So I'm just curious why the decision to go with the careless enhancement instead of the reckless.
Mr. Baxter?
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, as I mentioned briefly before you were able to enter the room today, the reckless standard under Minnesota law is very close to gross negligence, a gross negligence standard. And if we're able to prove recklessness, in most cases we're going to be able to prove gross negligence, and the charge in those cases would be a felony if we're able to prove the gross negligence standpoint. In response to your question, I guess we purposely didn't want to address this as just the reckless standard being the one that would be enhanced, because that isn't going to assist us in terms of addressing these issues as they occur in our courtrooms in an appropriate manner, because we already have the ability to even seek felony-level penalties when we can prove the gross negligence, which is very close to the recklessness standard. I certainly would have no problem, however, and I'm sure Senator DeKreif wouldn't have it either, if you wanted to enhance both of these statutes to a gross misdemeanor if they result in death, to be more consistent, I certainly wouldn't have a problem to that. But I would strongly urge you to consider not to remove the penalty for the carelessness and the negligence aspect of this matter as it's being proposed today.
Senator Latz, did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Backstrom, can you give us an example of kind of what would ordinarily fall within the careless driving statute, the kind of driving behavior that would be caught within that statute?
Mr. Backstrom.
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, it could be driving in a distracted manner, not watching where you're going. It could be going through a stop sign without looking properly and accelerating and striking someone. It could be falling asleep behind the wheel of a car and striking and killing someone, which is one of the examples I mentioned to you earlier that actually happened in Farmington, and gross negligence was not possible to be proven under those circumstances. So it could be a wide variety of conduct that could result in essence, negligent behavior that causes you not to be able to control your vehicle appropriately, leaving the roadway and striking and hurting another person.
Sir Latz.
Mr. Backstrom, the proposal would have no impact whatsoever on the ability of the family of the deceased to seek civil consequences, to file a civil wrongful death action, for example, against the offending party. Is that right?
Mr. Baxter.
Mr. Chair, Senator Lass, yes, that's correct. A civil case could still be pursued.
Okay. And
Senator Lass.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the Iverson case specifically, but if the other person was not charged with no insurance violation, there presumably was at least insurance on the vehicle or on the driver of the other vehicle, at least in the minimum required by state law. Is that a fair assumption?
Mr. Baxter.
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, I do know that the Iverson Ferkel families did retain a private attorney to work with them. I'm not certain what happened with their civil litigation.
And then, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Latz.
Mr. Baxter, can you help me understand how the proportionality concerns would be addressed here? This proportionality was a concern of this committee when it discussed this bill last year, including as expressed by the now chairman of the committee. And I'm trying to get my arms around how making a change here would fit in with the issues of proportionality relating to the rest of the criminal law statute.
Mr. Baxter.
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, as I indicated earlier in my testimony, there are many statutes in Minnesota that exist today that vary the penalty based upon the level of harm that's caused as a result of the conduct. And when that harm increases and causes death or the risks of death, in the case of carelessly handling a gun, then the penalty increases under Minnesota law. So we already have many examples that exist today where the proportionality increases when the level of harm caused by the conduct increases. And that's what we're simply asking to have take place in reference to negligent or careless driving.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Latz.
I'm trying to follow what you're saying, Mr. Backstrom, and I was making some notes as you were describing these other statutes. And you referred to assault, but the assault crime itself has a specific intent component. You have to specifically intend to do the act which results in order for it to be a criminal assault. You mentioned criminal vehicular operation and homicide, and they also have there are a lot of different components to that statute. The DWIs are all included in there. Gross negligence is included in there. The reckless or negligent conduct, you mentioned reckless handling of a firearm. Well, that's a higher standard. And it's a firearm which has, it's designed for the specific purpose of at least discharging at high speed a lethal object, often used intentionally to kill or maim, whether justified or not, for defense or for hunting or for whatever purpose. And you mentioned negligent storage of a firearm. And, I haven't actually read that statute, but, when it's accessible to a child, but that would require some a forethought in where you're going to store an obviously lethal weapon. And it just seems to me when you're talking about negligent driving, the kind of things you're talking about, distracted driving, if you're on a cell phone, which is legal in Minnesota, or if your attention is distracted by something else, changing the radio station or picking up something that fell on the floor or grabbing a pen. I mean, these are the kind of things which typically aren't, I mean, you don't give a whole lot of thought ahead of time to it, and probably everyone every day is engaging in some of this driving behavior. And with all sympathy to the tragic consequences that these families have experienced, much of what you're asking us to do is to criminalize the conduct. And I guess I'm having some difficulty getting my arms around criminalizing that aspect of it and how it fits in proportionally with other current statutes in Minnesota.
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, I would remind you that this conduct is already criminalized. It's already a misdemeanor under the law to drive negligently and strike a stop sign. It should be a gross misdemeanor. It should be a higher penalty if you drive negligently and kill a human being. That's all we're asking for in this case. And as I pointed out, other states have addressed this at even a higher level, at a felony level, when negligent conduct results in death in Wisconsin and North Dakota. We're not here to ask for that. We're here to ask for a level of proportionality in terms of the sanctions that are imposed under Minnesota law based upon a person's negligent conduct while operating a motor vehicle. And I would also point out, I'm sure you all understand this, but a motor vehicle is, you know, a 3,000-pound or more, machine that great care needs to be taken by all who operate it at all times. And it can be just as dangerous as the negligent handling of a firearm if it is driven in a negligent manner. So I do believe that this law does create a level of proportionality that does not exist today under Minnesota law based upon the harm caused by the negligent conduct. And as I said, there are many examples under our laws where the harm that's caused increases the penalty for the crime. And that's what we're asking here today.
Mr. Chairman, a follow-up, if I may.
Senator Latz, I do have four more senators to ask questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Well,
why don't you proceed with one more? We'll get back to you if you have it.
That's fine. You can go on.
Okay. Senator Harrington.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Backstrom, I also have some concerns about the lack of the intentionality in the language here, and also the lack of proportionality between reckless and careless. When I came on the police department back in 77, it was a pretty clear standard. If you were drag racing down the street, it was reckless. If you were, you know, accidentally unreasonably accelerated and spun your car out and hit something, it was careless. But it was a matter of which did you intend to do. And I think it's important that not only do we raise the penalties when there is more harm, we also raise the penalty typically when there is greater levels of intent. And it seems odd to me that with reckless, where there is a clear and demonstrable intent, that we do not raise the penalty, and yet in the case where there is no clear case of intent, that we are raising the penalty there simply on the basis of the harm. Can you address the intentionality for me? Because that's really that and the lack of proportionality, that those two statutes have been linked for as long back as I can remember.
Mr. Chair and Senator Harrington,
Mr. Baxter,
thank you for your question. In terms of the recklessness issue, I don't have a problem with increasing the penalty there to a gross misdemeanor if it results in death. But as I've indicated previously, if you get into the reckless level of the conduct, our ability to prove gross negligence is going to basically be the same in terms of a prosecutor's review of these cases. And we can charge a felony under Minnesota law if we can prove that a person's conduct is grossly negligent. But when we can't prove that, and we can't prove recklessness, all we can prove is negligence, and that results in death. I do believe the proportionality of the penalty should increase, and that's what we're here for. That's what we're here to talk about. When someone's negligent conduct takes a life, a gross misdemeanor is not too much to ask as a penalty, to give an opportunity for a judge to review all the facts of that case, to have a longer period of supervision over an offender, to have a more appropriate level of a fine associated with the matter, and perhaps, Mr. Chair and Senators, to raise this to the level under the Victims Reparation Board, that it might be considered for reparation purposes to the victims, because for a misdemeanor, they can't even seek funeral expenses when they've lost a loved one under this type of a situation. And we hope that would be changed as a result of increasing this penalty as well.
Thank you.
Senator Ingebrigtsen. Did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Backstrom, I'm glad you described the significance of a 2,000-pound weapon going down the street, because that's exactly what it can turn into if it's driven in a careless manner. And I would equate it to and I have many times before in my life that when you have a careless driving person or somebody reckless, and we're talking about both here, but somebody not paying attention going down, and I can't even imagine how this works. Well, I guess I can imagine in the metro here. I haven't driven in a metro more than the years I've been in the Senate, but what kind of a chaos situation you have. We're out in the country, you simply a lot of times just drive into the ditch and hit the telephone pole that's never supposed to be there, but that isn't the case when you're driving where there's a lot of population. So it's a very, very serious responsibility we take when we get behind that wheel. And when we bend over, I understand the two senators talking about my comments, and I didn't intend them to be trivial whatsoever. I hope I portray the seriousness of reaching down onto the floor for that cup of coffee that spilled, or reaching into the back seat for something that I seem to have now when I'm driving down the road at 70 miles an hour. When I make that decision, I've made a decision that could turn into something very dangerous. And if something results in that decision, should I be able to pay a fine and walk away? And I guess I can't even imagine the family having to live what they lived through and being the driver of that car who would potentially drive by the funeral and go down to the local police station and pay their fine, and that would end the case right there. I just can't even imagine that. So at the very least, a gross misdemeanor has to be applied here, and I think it's a great opportunity for us to send a message to those victims out there that it is a serious responsibility when you get in behind the wheel. And we all take it way too much for granted. And I'm one of them. I really am.
Senator Jungbauer is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just going to, as people were talking about things, speak in favor of the bill. So many times I get emails and over some of the things that I've authored over the years, and including seatbelt issues that, people are always saying, well, it's my right to be out there, and it's my right to drive this way or my right to drive that way, and driving isn't a right, and I don't know where people lost that. It's a privilege. We are licensed to do that. We are supposed to know what the rules of the road are, and we are supposed to abide by them. And over the years, I've even authored distracted driving issues and get into tiered penalties. And I think this really kind of comes into that sort of thing. We're not getting into tiers, but we're making a distinction, or allowing the court to make a distinction, and I think that's a good thing. When you look at the statistical data on some of the driving, and I tell my wife too, don't call me in the car. I don't have hands free and things. I can't drive the car and answer the phone at the same time. I'm sorry. It's one of the things I can't do. I can eat a burger and drive. No, that's okay. But we do make decisions, and this speaks to that. It's about personal responsibility. It is about whether or not we've decided to do something. And I guess I did have questions about whether the language was written, and Senator Thompson, you know, asked that. Is the language written such that we're getting at what we're trying to get at, and is, you know, simple negligence, are we describing it properly here? So that's my concern. I speak in favor of this certainly because of everything that I've seen, and the fact that driving is a privilege, and the fact that you do need to take personal responsibility, and you do need to pay the price when you make a decision that causes harm and death to somebody else. So I just want to be reiterated again, and Mr. Backstrom, that we do have the right language here to accomplish what we're looking for.
Senator Latz. I'm sorry, Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have heard this bill before, and I have not been a supporter. And the reason why is that I'm very concerned about criminalizing accidental conduct. It's not that I'm very moved by the story of what happened to you folks. I truly am. And I'm so sad for your loss. And it can be tragic when we have accidents. But I think this is a problematic bill for that reason. It's essentially accidental conduct. And we're trying to decide what accidental conduct is more than an accident based on the results of the accident, not based on the intent of the driver. And I think that's the key to criminal conduct, is the intent of the driver. And I think there's another problem in this bill, and that is the causation. The bill does not address the direct causation between the conduct and the harm. The way it's drafted, it says that the person who operates the vehicle negligently, that causes an accident that results in a death, in the death of a person, results in any way, no matter how attenuated that death might be or how distant from the actual conduct of the driver, could still be held to criminal standards. And so I'm very troubled by that, by the distance there between the conduct and the intent on the part of the driver and the result. It has to be much closer for me. It has to be a direct causation. I don't see that in the language here. And so, Senator DeCryf, I appreciate all your work on this bill, and to those who've worked on these bills for many years, including Senator Jungbauer, I just have not been a supporter of this, and I cannot support this bill at this time. With all due respect, all of you have worked so hard at it. And, Mr. Chair, I would move to lay this bill on the table.
Senator Ortman has made a motion to lay this bill on the table. I was checking to determine whether or not that's a debatable motion or not. I'm getting nods against that. So, having no further discussion, the motion is before us. Senator Ortman renews her motion to lay the bill on the table. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
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 The motion prevails. Having no further discussion or other business before the committee, and by the way, Senator DeCryf, this bill is on the table. It means that it could be removed from the table by those who prevailed at this committee. Perhaps you may want to discuss some of their concerns, about their concerns to them. You may have an opportunity to reword or rephrase or rebuild your bill, and we would welcome a motion to reconsider the motion before us. Right now, there's no further business before the committee, and the committee is adjourned.
Just hope it doesn't happen to any of your family members.